This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega.
We would be taking a shower, and if you happen to have a cut or a scrape, your shower would just burn. It would burn like you were sticking your hand in acid.
Okay, well, now you got to start flushing your water for 25 minutes before you use it for anything.
There is no trust when it comes to our state government.
When it's a man-made disaster, specifically one led by elected officials, then there's a whole nother level of psychological trauma because these are people who you have put your trust in.
The state nurse told me, oh, I understand your son has lead poisoning, but it's not as bad as it could be. He's just gonna lose a few IQ points. No, that's my child. How would you feel if someone told you that about your child? How is that fair to him?
For the residents of Flint, Michigan, the fight for clean water has been a years-long nightmare. And last week, the possibility that government officials will ultimately be held accountable was temporarily put on hold. On Thursday, state prosecutors in Michigan announced that they were dropping all 8 pending criminal cases against officials involved in the Flint water crisis. The crisis goes back nearly 5 years, when a change in the city's water source led to dangerously high levels of lead in the blood of some Flint residents, including children. Scientists have also found evidence that the city's water system was to blame for a Legionnaires' disease outbreak in 2014 and 2015 that killed 12 people. In 2016, the Office of Michigan Attorney General Bill Schuette started an investigation looking into the Flint water crisis. And that investigation has cost taxpayers tens of millions of dollars. But this year, a new attorney general, Dana Nessel, took office and appointed 2 new prosecutors to oversee the Flint investigation. The decision to drop the remaining charges was made public in a statement from the prosecutors, which said that in the previous investigation, quote, all available evidence was not pursued. In other words, this isn't over yet. Chia Morgan is with me to talk about all this. She's a social worker and community activist and a lifelong Flint resident. And Steve Carmody is with us. He's a reporter with Michigan Radio based in Flint. Thanks to you both for joining us.
Hello, Tanzina.
Thanks for having us.
So Chia, let's start with you. We're talking a lot about Flint and water, but you live in Flint. What's the water like today?
There's been progress, you know, since the initial onset of the crisis, but we're still in recovery. So, you know, it's just a long process and it's hit or miss because some days your water may come back one way, some days your water may come back with another testing level, you know, so it's still frustrating. That's probably the best way to describe it.
And Chia, when you heard the news that these charges were being dropped, at least for now, what was your reaction to that?
I was hoping that, you know, this is one of those instances where our trust won't be broken again. And I want to take the Solicitor General at face value and say, you know, they told us that they're dropping the charges so that they can introduce new evidence. So I'm actually hopeful, you know, the trust in state government is not that great, but I'm hoping with the new administration that that brings, you know, something new, a new level of trust.
Steve, this has been going on at least since 2014, the water crisis in Flint, that is. And we know that 15 state and local officials have been charged in the investigation under the former Attorney General, Bill Schuette. What was the status of those cases, and how does that relate to the charges that are dropped most recently?
Of the 15, 7 had cut plea deals with prosecutors. In exchange for cooperating with the investigation, they received little to no penalty. They pled no contest generally to misdemeanor charges. There were 8 former and current government officials who were still facing criminal charges, but when the Solicitor General dismissed the charges without prejudice, they now currently don't have any criminal charges against them, though those charges or other charges could be brought back up.
And Steve, can you remind me what the concerns were about the original investigation?
The concerns centered on, you know, was the team that was brought in from the outside by the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, had they adequately fully investigated all the possible avenues that they could have during their 3 years looking into this? The current Attorney General, Dana Nessel, when she was running last year, brought that up as a concern that she had before she won the election. And once she put new people in charge, they started raising even more questions about what evidence had not been investigated. And that was something that has been a drumbeat that has been building for the last several months. So while the announcement that they were dismissing the charges did catch us a little bit by surprise, it wasn't completely unexpected because of all the concerns they had been raising for the last several months about the quality of the investigation and about the evidence that had not been looked into.
Tia, do you feel that, I mean, how do you feel about the fact that these charges might end up being refiled or potentially having more evidence the second time around? Do you feel like this is justice delayed?
I mean, it is justice delayed. There's no way to look at it, no matter how optimistic you are. However, sometimes you have to be delayed to get things done right. You know, my parents always raised me that haste makes waste. So had this new team come in and tried to build a case off of what they didn't feel in their heart would have been, you know, a win, then it's likely that all charges would have been dropped and it wouldn't have been without prejudice. So I think that, you know, money has been wasted. There is a delay, but we can't put that on this current administration. And so that's why I'm not as upset, because there is an opportunity that some of these people who are still working in state government will actually face the judgment that they really deserve.
And Chia, are there other officials that people on the ground who were in Flint would like to see charged that had not been charged in the initial round?
Absolutely. There's no way that, you know, these charges should have been brought without our former governor, Rick Snyder, being in jail. So we are super optimistic that there is something to implicate him and that charges will be filed. And I will say, you know, this team, they've been searching cell phone records and they've been doing all of that. So they are doing their due diligence to show us, you know, that they are working on this. And to echo what Steve said, we knew that this was possibly coming because Dana Nessel hit the ground saying that she was going to do everything she could to make sure that justice was served. And I also echo his sentiments that we were a little caught off guard on Friday that, hey, this is happening now, but we weren't blindsided.
Steve, what happens now? I mean, where do the prosecutors go?
Well, at this point, they have to plow through a lot more potential evidence than what the previous team had been working on. And they're under something of a growing time constraint. There is a statute of limitations for them to file on certain charges. And with the switch in the city's water system occurring in April of 2014, it really, in many cases, will give them only until the spring of next year to file new charges. So I would expect that we'll get through the summer and then maybe in the fall we'll start seeing criminal charges being filed once again. Now, who exactly will be charged and what they'll be charged with will depend on the evidence that they have available to them and what they can think they can make stick. And we may see new players being charged. We may see some of the people who had been charged not charged again. And so the severity of some of the charges, for example, the state's former state health department director had been facing involuntary manslaughter charges. We'll see if the new team will move forward with those charges again or if they'll go after him on lesser penalties.
And Steve, Chia gave us an update on the water situation in Flint. Do you have any additional details on what's happening, whether or not people are still using bottled water, maybe what the percentages are as far as folks who have clean water, if I can even say that?
The latest testing shows that the 90th percentile, the most at-risk homes being tested, their lead quality was about 4 parts per billion, which is well within federal and state standards for lead exposure. Now, ideally, zero lead is what you want in your water, and that's what the majority of homes that are tested are coming back as. That's, you know, the information we've received from the state. There are many people who in Flint will never trust what they hear from the government again about the quality of their drinking water. They were lied to repeatedly for a very long time, and they will never trust, you know, whatever numbers come out about the quality of the drinking water in Flint. That's why when different churches and civic groups have water giveaways, there are always very long lines of people getting in line to get bottled water because, again, they do not trust and will never trust the water coming out of their tap.
Chia, we know that 2020 is a huge election coming up for this country. Presidential candidates are, some of them at least, are talking about the Flint water crisis. And you recently spoke to Julian Castro, who's the former HUD secretary, who was in Flint to talk about this. What did you say to him?
I asked him not to make us a campaign stop or a campaign talking point. I asked him to definitely promise us that win, lose, or draw in 2020, that he would stick with us, help us, you know, fight even on the campaign trail when you're going to these different cities. Give these cities an update on what you found out in Flint here. Ask them to send 10 cases. Ask them to send 20 cases, because he's essentially going to touch all 50 states. So those cases add up, because as Steve stated, when we have these water drives, the lines are wrapped around buildings. They're wrapped around streets and corners. So we're still in need of water.
So, Chia, when you see people, particularly on social media, who say, you know, celebrities even, who say Flint still doesn't have clean water, or politicians who use that as a talking point, how do you feel?
You know, there are some celebrities, and I have seen them. I have, you know, witnessed it. They're not just using that as a way to get 1.2 million likes. They're genuinely saying Flint doesn't have clean water. You know, they've been phenomenal. But for too many people, it's just a cool post to make. And for too many candidates, it is just something, you know, oh, we're going to pull at the heartstrings because everyone in the nation felt for Flint. And it is more than disheartening. It just angers you so much that people are just so callous, you know, that they just use you for their own benefit. We're tired of that.
Steve, we are hearing about similar water, tainted water in Newark, New Jersey, for example. And I'm wondering, when you look at this situation, what does it tell you about how difficult it is to essentially hold officials accountable in these types of environmental disasters?
It is difficult to do that, often because the decisions that they make, even if they're making incorrect decisions, they're not necessarily breaking the law with the decisions that they make. For example, the former State Health Department Director, Nick Lyon, who was facing involuntary manslaughter charges because of decisions he made related to a Legionnaire's disease outbreak that occurred at the same time as the Flint water crisis. The question is, did he actually break the law in the decisions that he made? The crux of the charges against him was he didn't notify the public that there was a Legionnaire's disease outbreak, and some people thought that he should have. Well, the department did notify hospitals, did notify doctors to be on the lookout for Legionnaires in Genesee County. They took the steps that they were required to by law and expected to by law. But, you know, did he actually break the law, and were his decisions actually illegal? You know, that's a difficult decision to make. When you're dealing with someone who is, you know, a politician, an elected official, a government official, someone who is making their decisions and they are acting within the law, the way the laws are written, it's difficult then to prosecute them.
Steve Carmody is a reporter with Michigan Radio based in Flint, and Chia Morgan is a Flint resident and activist. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.